nice intro. That's the intro to the intro.
There's the storm coming.
Hey, welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It's the Great Music Debate with our hosts, Beaner and Weevil. Now, here's Beaner and Weevil.
Hey, thank you, thank you.
Rolling.
Well, we are rolling.
It was very silly.
Happy turkey 2 days ago.
Extra day late.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. By the time you hear this, it'll be Christmas.
Over.
Well, hello.
You're waiting for a song, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's coming.
And here we go. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Turn that up.
Happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it. Happy anniversary.
It's your anniversary this weekend.
You don't fill it. Happy anniversary.
It's actually
tomorrow's my anniversary.
Now I'm married.
I'm waiting for it to go into that song.
Happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it.
Macarena.
No, I hope it doesn't.
I hope it doesn't.
It could right there.
Now I am married. Now I am married. Now I am married. Now I am married.
So it's your anniversary.
Oh my God, it won't stop. It's like the Fred Flintstone thing.
You can just drop the level.
And they're going away now.
It can quietly go in the background.
Now they're going away now. Let's make sure the fader's down. Let's get to the fader so we can make it go away. And there you have it. Goodbye.
Have it a little bit.
What?
Just a little
just a
bit in the
touch.
Background. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Brilliant!
Okay, so welcome.
Well,
I am Beaner, and you are?
Yes, I am the Weevil.
Yes, so we are back together again for another exciting show.
Yes, we are going to do these, I think, quarterly by year.
I guess we should take into consideration that we're being listened to internationally now, so maybe
we have a multitude of various strange countries around the world. I want to thank everybody around the world who is actually listening to us. Because that's really freaking cool.
I would like to ask them why they're listening. What drew you to the Beaner and Weevil show?
I would have to think it's our...
It's not to learn English, that's for sure.
I think it's our... I mean, just listen to our programming.
Oh, it's outstanding. That's the reason.
We're going to get into a lot of stuff, but let's not get away from the anniversary issue here that I brought up. But I do want to thank everybody that has been listening to the Great Debate.
Podomatic.com. You were going to plug Undercover Steve again.
Yeah,
I knew it.
My show on Friday nights.
You and that Undercover Steve.
All right.
Every minute with the plug.
But anyway, not only is it your anniversary,
yes,
but it's our anniversary.
It is.
We came up with the Great Debate the same weekend of your wedding.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I forgetted that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So it's really
our
anniversary.
The day after.
After.
Which would be
the night
technically
after.
Monday. See, most people think this is a very funny thing about my anniversary. Because my anniversary falls, because I got married on the Friday after Thanksgiving, everyone thinks my anniversary, this is the
university.
That's why, see, that I can't speak other languages. That's why they listen all over the world. Most people think my anniversary is the Friday after Thanksgiving, but actually...
Well, you were married on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yes, but my anniversary moves unlike Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving's always on Thursday. My anniversary...
The Earth screws up that thing.
Yes, the Earth doesn't know how to rotate properly.
It's certainly not consistent.
But that's the thing. So my anniversary is actually tomorrow. And therefore, the anniversary of our coming up with the show is Monday. You enjoying that music?
I just cracked
it. Now I'm going to make it go away. All right, goodbye.
But the next, you'll have to let me know when the next song comes in.
Yes, I
because
will.
That's going to tie into
there
the anniversary.
There is no next song. What
you're
you talking about?
You're supposed to put Making Memories in there.
No, I didn't. If you like, I will do that right
yes.
this moment.
Well, we could. Yeah,
okay, I will.
You could do
I'll
that.
Load that in.
But hang on one second first.
Okay. I won't load it in just
we were
yet.
Saying about it. It's our anniversary as well, where we actually came up with the idea of doing a radio show based on talk radio format, but with music the way we kind of do.
Yills. That wasn't our original idea, though.
It kind of was.
The original idea, as you've stated before, came out of... We were watching WKRP.
Yes.
The DVD collection of
yes.
the first season. And then we started to watch the director's cut, but where
the,
they have the
audio
commentary. Yeah, so I think
and
it was
you said,
Lonnie Anderson and the other guy who played Herb were commenting. And I thought, wow, that'd be awesome.
Why doesn't anybody do that for records?
Yeah, like, for instance, first thing I thought, of course, wouldn't it be great to hear Rush, Hemispheres, and hear the three of them just talking about the record as it rolls.
Yeah.
And saying, like, well, this part was rough because yada yada, or we came up with this, or we tried this a million times, we had to change it. I just thought that'd be so interesting.
Yeah. And then I, of course, took it to this next level,
right,
with the
you
concept
said,
of,
let's have a beer and we will show.
Yeah, like, why isn't there, we like talk radio so much, why isn't there one that's based on the way we've always talked about music? Like,
that
giggling idiots, if anybody heard what we were doing right. for the last 20 minutes before we even started. Yeah,
fortunately, that wasn't recorded.
Like giggling mongoloids. But, yeah, and then and that's when we were, you know, you were like, hey, I have the equipment. I have the good looks.
I have the equipment.
I have
some of the tools and equipment that could get us partly there. And then we could rent or use others to get the... So, yeah, so then here we are.
Here we are.
Two years later? Oh, my God.
How long have you been married?
I'm going to go with 2 years.
Okay, because I screwed that up on the air last night. Because I was like, is it two, three,
who
something
screwed
like
that?
It was a few years
night?
Ago. Me.
Who?
My show.
Who's that?
Undercover Steve.
Oh.
I think people are seeing through
the
whole thing.
Are you trying to say
you're
the same guy?
Yeah.
I don't buy that.
I think people buy it.
I don't buy that for a second.
I'm not
completely different.
I'm not the Green Hornet. So
I've
been found out.
All right, so what was your intention beyond? Oh, that was it, to talk about the anniversary of our
show. Yeah, I wanted to say
well,
happy anniversary one, of course, to you and your wife, and I played
you.
A couple songs on your behalf last night, and one of them was this next song that I want to play, because I was thinking we could play some stuff. I think I was curious about some songs from that I think if I play them from our history,
yes.
I'm curious what kind of response they might elicit from you. I had a really interesting one on this song because I remember talking about this song as a kid.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is the song you want me to load in?
Yes.
All right, let me load it in.
Making memories from
to
Rush.
To the listener, they don't hear the break.
Yes.
So let's just do it. Yes. See, a familiar little number.
See, this goes way back. And as I had mentioned, this reminds me of a conversation we had because of one of my early just... We were so young, we didn't have the experience beyond us, behind us to make better interpretations, I think. Because to me...
What you talking about, Willis?
The lyrics to this song.
Oh, man, but you were always Mr. Lyricist.
I don't think
I caught the lyrics.
But I didn't know what
5, 10 years later.
I didn't know what I was doing yet, though.
Actually, you were writing back then.
Lyrics. Yeah, but I'll explain 1 second. I'm just looking up the lyrics real quick here on my lappy top.
I'll tell you what my first impression is of this song. That it, of course, comes from Fly By Night. It's Rush. It comes from Fly By Night. And Fly By Night was the breakthrough record. That was the one that finally got me to stop telling you Rush sucks.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get to all that.
But, I mean, I was giving you a steady feed of Rush sucks until you made me listen to Fly By Night, I don't know how many times. And then finally, of course, Best That I Can was the song that snuck in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's okay. And then I fell in love with this record. And that's what this song reminds me of, those early moments. And of course, what also reminds me of is what a new experience it was to like a band that was playing this is like the acoustic. Don't forget, I was an Aerosmith head.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zeppelin. I don't know, I just don't feel like Zeppelin did it. I feel like I didn't hear that.
I love
light
this
side.
This slide, man.
Slide, awesome. How about for an underrated slide player, Alex Lifeson? He is underrated.
Wait.
Just for fish.
So simple.
That's good.
But he's
about 20.
To your point, this,
or less.
This is kind of the album where they were really starting to figure out their way a bit, you know, now that Neil was in the band.
Absolutely.
They had completely opened, you know, because apparently John Rutsey was very hesitant and reluctant to kind of open up the way they were starting to, of course, with Bye to the Snow Dog being on this.
But, and this is very much not the first record.
Yes. This is where they started to, kind of branch out. I mean, apparently Anthem was part of Neil's audition, was a jam they just came up with. But to the greater point of this, what I was thinking of is just how they were kind of finding their way. But for me, I got this as a cassette. And this was like...
Yo, you played it on the box. That's
how I
know.
I had this as a cassette. And this was, I think at that point, I only had Hemispheres. And then this might have been the next one I got, other than that homemade tape that that guy Scott made me, where Baito and the Snow Dog cut off in the middle of the song. So I never knew what the end of the song was like.
That's funny. I don't even remember that. But I do remember that box, but your boom box playing that.
This is the transition of you making fun of me and Rush constantly, which is all going to lend to a greater topic I want to get to in a little bit. But
are you going
to
purge?
Yeah, yeah. So with this song, like, the point I was getting to was lyrically, my interpretation of this was I just assumed that they were like me, and that like people like we were like me in the sense that I was constantly persecuted for no matter what I listened to musically. I went from Kiss
for a lot,
to Black Sabbath to Rush, and every peer group hated all these things.
It's
and
true.
And I used to get bludgeoned, even my closest friends at home at the time.
Well, because you really flew against the grain.
Yeah.
Much like your sister, who was a punk. You were bending all the rules. I mean, we grew up in a town where that's not what... Now, I came from a different town. That was only a year after I came from a town where music like Aerosmith and Cheap Trick and AC/DC were popular, into a town where you and I lived.
Where Doors, Skinner, Zeppelin,
Neil Young, Molly Hatchet, all the Southern stuff.
Or you were useless.
Yeah, and so you were really, really...
Oh, I was outside the lines. And my interpretation of this was the lines in here where he says... our memories remind us maybe road life's not so bad. And I remember us discussing this and me saying that, like, wow, it must have really had a shitty time growing up like I am. You know?
Right, to say maybe real life's not so bad.
And it's funny because now listening to this recently.
Wait a minute. But what? I used to hear that lyric that way, and now I hear it differently.
Well, you had heard it differently then because you kind of made me kind of think of it different because you had been like, no, it's kind of more like... they're having fun.
Right. The memory, the good memories on the road remind them.
And this is how it all kind of applies. I mean, they were kind of just starting to feel their way. And what I found about this, you know, now looking at it, you know, all these years later, and I had already come to dismiss my initial, you know, what would be the right word, prejudices or preconceived notions about it lyrically. And now, of course, it makes sense that, they were just, it was all possibilities. They were just starting to kind of... this was before Caress of Steel, when they thought they were going to have to like get jobs again. But at this point, they were just starting to hit through Cleveland airplay. They got a record deal. They were starting to open for all these great bands like Kiss and everybody.
Was that true when they recorded the record? Or true
this
after
was,
they recorded
this
the record?
This was all in that
because
era.
Because that, when you listen... Again, I'm speaking another language. For those of you who are listening to us in Buenos Aires, you probably understood that.
Yes.
But if you watch the documentary, which of course you have, but if the listener watched the documentary, they talk about that moment where they start getting airplay in Cleveland.
That was after the first record.
Oh, see, I was thinking that was after Fly By Night.
No. They
wrote this song.
Cleveland hopped on to Working Man and that record.
Wow.
And that's when they started the tour. Then Neil came in the band, and then they went in and did Fly By Night.
When you think about it, it's amazing they survived that because they give the public the Zeppelin-ish record.
Yeah.
The public buys it. And then they followed up with this.
A little tiny bit.
But, you know, to buy it at all, it's kind of like buying an AC/DC record and saying, okay, I know what this is, and then Fly By Night.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Well, and then as we've gotten older, we've come to appreciate bands that do that more, but without digressing in that direction. But, yeah, you could just hear the optimism and the hunger to explore that's in the songs, you know. And now I think about it. You know, with all the, you know, the different directions we've gone in our lives, I feel like, it, you know, it kind of, I could associate with it, which was another theme for the show about songs that you can kind of associate, you've always associated with.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in my limited capacity of going out on the road and traveling and doing things like that, I think I kind of accomplished that. And, you know, some to my detriment, but when it comes down to it, my memories remind me that, you know, It was great. It was fun stuff to do.
When you say your memories remind you, are you talking about bad memories of the past? Like
that going
out and doing those things was an improvement?
No. In the sense of accomplishment, you know, that I had a lot of fun and I accomplished some things. But more than anything, out of my musical career, obviously, I didn't get very rich off it. Is that I
most
collected
people don't.
Where I feel I'm rich and truly rich is the experiences that I had and the people I met and you know, the things we did. I mean, granted, some of them were, I don't remember a whole lot of it.
I think, quite frankly, but, most people who are willing to commit to a life on the road through music or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't do it for the money because, you know, usually you're not getting the money. I mean, usually you do it because you want to do it.
That's the carrot on the string that you're right, chasing
you
after.
Maybe you'll get that bonus.
But you're driven to do it anyway.
Yeah, because it is a lot of fun. It does make, as the song says, it is making memories. It does make memories.
Yeah.
Being in bands and being around bands tends to make some of the great memories of your life. Most people I know would probably say that. And I could say that too. Like some of the great memories of my life were certain bands that I was in, certain experiences in the bands, and not always the shows. Not so much that we played that place, although I have some good memories like that too. A lot of times it's sound check, goofing around at sound check, and just being in that kind of lifestyle where you're setting up the stage. And
what we just did for the first like half hour before we recorded.
We were being silly.
Very, very silly. But yeah, that was just one of the songs. This song, it kind of strikes a chord, pun intended.
Another thing that I will say about that song really quickly, as I grab
the guitar,
is that song was one of the first songs I tried to play from Rush.
Really?
And could actually do the...
I was so shocked
that it sounded right. Right now it didn't sound very right, but those are the chords to that, to Making Memories.
That's, dude, you're bringing me back to the porch.
To the porch. All right, we're getting personal.
No, go ahead. No.
The Beaner and... No, that was it. I just wanted to show you.
Oh, okay. I was going to say...
The Beaner and Weevil conflict is always...
The
me trying to be less personal and you being more personal.
Yes, but...
Which creates balance, I suppose.
Cygnus. But for that, I mean, that's how we started. Basically, this whole show is built upon the principle of what we did when we were 13 years old. Sitting on the porch, you with your guitar, us figuring songs out and just talking about it. That's basically the premise of the show.
Enough, I mean, I had an acoustic guitar then, you know, which
was
all I
had. That used to play bass on at one point.
I was just thinking, that's how I started on bass.
Yeah.
Because you, of course, gave me that Rush bug, and then I was like, oh, God, I have to be a bass player, which to this day, I can't explain the influence that Rush had. You know, Rush, it wasn't just that I wanted to be like them, but I mean... I've learned now as I got older, especially after the documentary came out, I know I've told you this before, so this is kind of repeating myself, but I think I saw so much in Geddy Lee, particularly in who he was and who they were, that I really saw when the documentary came out.
Yeah, we watched that
movie.
I
saw more of it. I really realized that I don't know what I could have in common with three guys from Canada, you know, from Toronto, but I felt so incredibly identified with Geddy in particular and all three of them that I think I just wanted to be more like them.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be like them.
In a lot
of
ways, we are them, just that things went different. You know? We started out basically the same way. We were not the most popular kids in our town. We kind of stuck to our own thing, and as dysfunctional as things turned out for me personally, I mean, you went a different way and accomplished a lot more in a lot of different ways.
In different areas. I accomplished in other areas. I mean, you accomplished in other areas.
Yeah, and I wound up doing that.
I wouldn't say it was more or less. It's just that you went, your accomplishments were more.
Yeah, I went in a completely different direction. But the point I was going to make.
Being like them?
Yeah.
Well, you said we are them, which I thought was strange because we're like them, but we're not them.
No, we're not them.
Which is what I finally figured out as I got older.
But we're of that same... I don't know how to explain it right. Yeah, I'm going to lose this. I'm not going to say it right.
No, I thought I was getting what you were saying, and that is we identified with them.
Yeah.
And that they were not the most popular kids in school.
That's
what drew them together in the first place, Geddy and Alex.
I remembered. I think this era of when I started getting into this band at this age, when I met you, it was when I started to realize that I'm better than this. Like, I have more to offer than this. Like, you know, when you look back at the collective we came from,
Right.
You know, not that there's anything wrong with, you know, staying in your local and, you know, raising your family, like doing what people did there, you know.
No,
do
I mean, Rush was how close to doing that?
Yeah.
They were very close to staying in their local.
That's when I think I started to feel like I might have something a little extra in some areas of my mental capacity.
To give? To offer?
Yeah, to explore, to elaborate with and to use. Like, instead of just, whatever's on the radio. You know, it's like I kind of found where I thought creatively or what the intangible aspect that I'm not verbalizing well.
No, I think I get
it's
what
where
you're
it's
saying.
Where I, you know, it's
I think you've found a lot of that in, I mean, you found it in journalism, you found it in photography, you found it in drums.
I find it every now and again.
But I see that you've found it in radio.
I think
was,
I have.
Which was not what I expected.
Never anything we ever.
But there's something about you that is very much radio friendly. You have a radio. I don't know. I'm trying to avoid the word talent because I don't want to make it sound simple. It's like you have that drive, whatever drives people for radio.
I think it's an affableness, maybe, or it's just an extrovert.
An affinity for radio.
Like, you know, I think you hear where I get it from, and that my show my dad.
I hear it in everything you do on radio because you always had that drive. Even when we were kids, you were the one that made the mixtapes. You were the one that grabbed the phony phone calls and put them on tape. You were the one that was always obsessed with music in the sense that I wanted to play music. You wanted to discover music more than you wanted to play it. You wanted to discover music. You were one of those
Listen
guys that would
it,
discover something
apart.
And bring it to other people.
Yeah.
Look what I found. I got this new band. And you did do that. I mean, all of our group of friends were all latching onto your music as you latched
somewhat.
Onto it. I mean, first we hated it, then we liked it.
But we had friends that it was a secondary thing. Like, you know, Tom and Randy and Rich. Like those
personal alert.
Yeah.
Like I always picture somebody. Now I'll picture somebody in like Egypt listening to you saying, who is Tom?
Well,
we
had everybody has, like, I mean, you have like those sect as in S-E-C-T.
You said sex.
You have that, those
now
groups
you're
of friends.
Just draw listeners.
That way. I'm slumming it.
That was so cheesy.
That, you know what I mean? The people are, you know, the guys that you work with, whatever's on the radio, you know. And I could never tolerate that. Like, as radio started to change, you know, it wasn't as good as it was when we were in the 70s growing up.
Right.
New York radio, rock radio was a lot better.
Oh, forget it. Those days are so over. When you cared so much about the radio, there weren't a million options. There were no online options, and there's no satellite options. So radio was radio, period.
Yeah.
So if Carol Miller came on and said a record was good, that meant something.
But
or
yeah,
if she
because,
said two words about a record, it meant something.
Because back then, it was about what they were bringing to you more than now. You got a program director that's just handing them what the playlist is because this is what the research shows.
Plus, look at the options. I mean, you got Pandora, you got AOL radio.
Well, that's why
radio
is scared now.
I mean, radio is just, you can get whatever you want. You want to listen to Dolly Parton 24 hours a day, followed by the 24-hour, you know, Metallica station, you can do that. Whatever you want.
As Jello Biafra said, this is a great quote, something, I'm going to paraphrase it, but in Iran, music is banned because it stimulates the brain. We've done them one better, and we've, you know, we dumb it down here so it doesn't stimulate the brain. And it's like, and that's corporate mentality musically. You know, they've kind of really homogenized it and they offer less and less. I mean, that's why I've gotten that disenchanted with New York, terrestrial radio.
I don't subscribe to that thought. I don't think it's been homogenized because a corporate entity controlled it and changed it, if that's what you're saying.
I think that's what's driving that.
I think what changed is just that technology made so much available, so easy, that it's a natural dilution. I mean, it's just if you have a fast food place that you like, and you know it's 5 minutes from your house and you go there, that's something. But if in that 5-minute drive they put 60 more fast food places and all those choices arise, it's just not as special. That was a horrible analogy.
Yeah, I don't know where the hell you're going.
The point is that too many choices, when things become,
I don't think
when
that
you have
has,
too many choices,
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
You lose the specialness. I mean, let's face it. When there was New York radio, when there were, three stations that mattered?
This doesn't...
I'm talking about rock radio.
Yeah, but there's only at any given time three or four rock stations in any market.
Yeah, in any free...
And they all play the same stuff.
Yeah, but that's Howard Stern coins terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
But then you've got satellite with that in your choices.
Yeah,
and you've got internet.
Yeah, but I'm talking...
iPods change
But that has
everything.
Nothing to do with the perspective I'm coming from. The perspective I'm coming from is radio has shit on itself so bad for so long that it's become irrelevant because it can't compete with a new freer medium. My point is...
That's the thing. It can't compete with the freer. Because it doesn't have exclusivity.
But on your point of view, it's sounding to me more like this is all of a sudden radio sucks. Radio has sucked for 30 years.
No. I agree with you. It isn't that all of a sudden radio sucks. It's all there was. So, for instance,
we're the savior.
If
of
going
radio.
Back, if going,
we're bringing the soul of friggin' radio back,
ladies and gentlemen.
Think about it;
it's been announced.
No, this is what pisses me off about people like
radio,
like David Hinckley and Jim Farber. That when I email them from the Daily News about their radio columns and music columns, they ignore these because we're rinky-dink little online operations right now. And then they write these big articles about, you know, David Hinckley to talk about, he'll wax nostalgically about the DJs that just died from his era and how they used to do all this and they used to do all that. It's like, that radio has been is as dead as your friends you're talking about because it died 20 years ago when I first started doing photography in the 90s. That's when like SOU had to stop like playing
WSOU.
Yeah.
Seton Hall's college station.
College station needed to make money, so they destroyed the programming at it to make it more commercially viable. You know, they like those DJs have to play by playlist now.
But wait a minute.
And that's what's killing
radio.
Let me
just go back to where you
started.
Let me just go back to where you started just so I can clarify. I agree with you that radio has always been a very nice. For those of you listening at home or in your cars or wherever, Weevil.
I just coffee shit on my shirt.
Weevil, after he made his point, he valiantly grabbed his cup and dumped some coffee
on my gray shirt.
That was very...
think that's going to leave a stain?
You were like, so there.
Got six.
Oh,
got
God. Right on your Steelers shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My six-time Super Bowl championship winning Steelers.
Yeah, we're familiar. We know.
We'll get to football later.
We're familiar. All right, so let me just clarify. So I agree with you. Radio has always been questionable in terms of are they producing
radio,
a great thing.
Terrestrial like, radio died a long time ago.
I know,
as far
but
as
it
I'm
was
concerned.
It was when we were kids and we thought New York radio was great, and it was great. You still only had whatever you got, meaning that like our big stations were WNEW,
PLJ.
Okay, so you got what you got from them, and we would even go through the dial and listen to something half full of static just to get a different playlist. Yeah. So we would find I-95 from Connecticut.
Yeah.
And they would play album sides or do Rush A to Z or something that, you know, we wouldn't get in New York. And we would be like, oh, okay, I don't care. I'll listen to this full of static just so I can get something.
Yeah.
So the programming was questionable then. In other words, you didn't always get what you wanted. But the fact is, there were only a few outlets. There was New York radio and that's it. There was no other way to get things. So, for instance, back then, if John Lennon decided to pop in the studio and grace us with his presence for 20 minutes, and it happened on New York radio, that's where it would happen on New York radio. Where would it happen now? We don't know where it would happen now. I mean, it wouldn't happen with John Lennon.
It could happen anywhere.
And then
the access to it.
To me, that's what changed. There's no exclusive place anymore.
Where
do we go?
That's not
do
even...
Do you go to satellite?
That has nothing to do with
there's
the problem.
There's only so many listeners. So if you dilute it amongst all these places, how can it be special?
There might still be something
that you would think is fantastic. Personally, I think you would
I
like...
I don't think that's what's wrong with radio. I think you're talking about...
I'm saying that's what changed radio.
I disagree completely. I think you've gone in a completely different direction that really is so arbitrary to... how, I mean, all this to me is so far after the fact. I will agree that now things are diluted because there's so much access to so many different things.
Right. And that's why my point. That's what's changed.
Something with defined and clear personality will eventually rise out of this malaise.
Yes, it will.
And that's what
it still does.
That's what I'm hoping we will do.
Well, maybe we will. Maybe we won't.
But radio has been dead for so long because it's just been like this since the late 80s, early 90s, things started to horribly change.
What are you saying was great but isn't now? Was Karen Miller great?
Yeah.
Was Scott Muni great?
Not Scott Muni because I can't stand listening to him
talk. Well, Scott Muni kind of did, what you're talking about.
Yeah, they did.
He was a brand, wasn't he?
Yeah, Pete Fornatale, Ken Dasho, all these guys, they would have their own shows. And
they still do, you know.
Yeah, they do.
Ken Dasho does.
But, yeah, and some of them do still have control over their playlist to a certain degree. But most of your programming is so controlled and so limited because that's what the research shows is what's selling. And that's why.
When has that been any different? That's never been different.
I think the degrees have been different.
I don't think it's ever been any different.
I think it's been very different.
You have, I think Carol Miller's still on the air on satellite, yeah. I think. But Meg Griffin is on satellite. So those people. Meg Griffin is on satellite.
On satellite.
She's probably spinning whatever she wants.
Yes, she and satellite.
So why is she not standing out?
Satellite is more. But that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but she was a big listen on K-Rock.
But that's not what I'm talking about at all.
You're saying that.
What I'm saying is what killed radio being exciting from terrestrial radio, which was the personality of the people and their own tailoring of their playlist.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're saying that was great at a time. When radio was great, you're saying certain shows, certain personalities and their shows were great. You're saying that was the case, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm saying to you, if those very same people are on the air now in the 2010,
they're not allowed to. Most of them are probably not allowed to pick what they're going to play.
I think they have more choice of what to play.
I don't
than
think
they
do.
Then. You don't think so?
No.
You don't think if Carol Miller has a show on
Carol Miller might.
But why is she not? You don't even know where she is, and I don't either.
No.
But so that just goes to show you.
I'm not saying there's not going to be a couple of exceptions that have been around long enough to maybe fight their way to get a little creative control over their shows. But generally, if you come up in corporate radio now as a DJ, do you think you're going to be able to walk in and play what you want to play?
I think you have a better chance now than you ever did.
Not in terrestrial radio. You're
because
out of your friggin' mind.
Yeah, but now it's not. In terrestrial
why
radio.
Why do you think. I don't remember ever a time in my life where I've heard the same song on three different rock stations at the same friggin' time.
You don't? They did that then.
Not like I hear it now. I had to drive around in a work van for over a year.
And I'm not listening to terrestrial radio.
Yeah,
much.
I could pick. I had no choice. And I could pick repeated times during a work week where I would hear the same song on two, if not three stations
and
at the same time.
And you don't think that when Brown Sugar came out, I guess it's like 72, which is a little before our time, but you know, a little before the time I think that we're pointing to. But when Brown Sugar came out, you don't think every rock station played that and probably
I'm sure
played
they
it
did.
Every 4 hours?
Yeah, maybe, but I think they also
no,
played.
There was a playlist.
They played a lot of different stuff.
Stairway to Heaven was on the playlist before, just like it is now on a classic rock station. The difference is now you have a classic rock station. Or now you have an 80s, 90s station, or a 70s and 80s and 90s station, or a 60s and 70s station. Back then, you just had rock stations, and you had a country station if you had one. You had a disco station if you had one. And the playlist was pretty much could be taken from Billboard, don't you think?
I'm sure to a degree.
I mean, your top songs on Billboard.
But if I remember correctly, the DJs had a little bit more creative control over their shows. That's what made their shows interesting.
Because I don't know that.
That's why I used to listen to people like Tony Pig and you know,
but you
Pat
think
St.
Tony
John.
Pig on PLJ.
Yeah.
WPLJ in New York. Tony Pig, I remember. You think that he had more creative control over what he played?
Definitely.
Than they do now?
Definitely.
See, I disagree with you.
Definitely.
I think that Tony
Pig. Do you know
Pig,
anybody that works on, I mean, that works on, like, if you talk to anybody that works in radio in a while? Or?
No, but I mean, I would say one of the big sources I listen to is Howard Stern, who talks about all the eras of radio he's been through. And he talks about the early days when he was a DJ, and I mean, he had zero control of what he played ever. He worked rock stations as a regular DJ and had zero input into what he could play. You know, the program directors, that's what they do. That's what they always did.
Yeah,
they
programmed the station. I think the personalities used to have a little more flexibility than they do now.
In answer to your question, I think a DJ coming up in the system now would have more opportunity to get to play what they want
on online, not on terrestrial radio. Absolutely
well,
not.
I don't know specifically if they would have more on terrestrial radio, but I would say if anything,
definitely
it's
not
the same. I would say they'll have less ability to play, just the same inability to program their own station. But even worse than that, back then, if you couldn't get a job in a decent market or any market on a hearable station with a decent wattage that could actually be heard, there was no other job. But now there's a satellite job or there's an online job.
Well, satellite was a response to how bad regular radio got.
Let me ask you something. The guys who were big in the 80s, the VJs on MTV, Mark Goodman, Alan Hunter, Martha Quinn, they're all working. All three of them work on the 80s station on satellite, on Sirius XM satellite. That's where they all three of them work there. And my guess is they probably have some input on the music. Maybe not all, but so why wouldn't, who would not market them now?
I doubt
they
have.
Why are they not on terrestrial radio?
I doubt they have any much control over what they're playing, and they sucked on MTV back in the 80s.
You can say that, but it was very successful.
That was all program directed stuff.
But they were extremely successful.
Yeah.
And so why are they on satellite now? The reason is,
nostalgia.
The reason they're on satellite now is a couple of reasons. One, the first reason of all is because they can get a gig. They can work. Somebody wants them. Where? On nostalgic 80s radio. Perfect. You don't have that on terrestrial radio because that's pretty much of a narrow cast saying, okay, we're just going to do 80s and we're going to have 80s VJs. You know, it's pretty narrow.
Yeah, but that'll appeal to a sizable market.
Not big enough. In New York radio, as you can tell, they're going to go for the biggest market possible, which is either going to be huge classic rock, FM.
The fact that we're even bringing in MTV into this, because MTV is the crack of what killed radio.
It's the very crack in radio.
What killed radio took years to accomplish.
First of all, radio didn't get killed. It's not killed.
And then,
it's not killed. I suffer from not hearing enough FM terrestrial radio to defend my
point. Try it, dude.
But you listen to, I think, exclusively FM radio.
Well, if I ever did, if I do listen to radio, it's obviously going to be FM. I rarely ever do because...
Do you ever listen to Pandora?
Yeah, we used to listen to it. We listened to it at the tattoo shop.
Now, Pandora,
all the time.
You can program in a Slayer station.
Yeah,
and you're gonna get Slayer
and
anything like it.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply to the topic.
But my point is, with that kind of freedom to make genres, I mean, you've seen
that's
it.
Where
if you go looking
that's
for a
where
genre,
character and
it.
Personality of a show is going to be that deciding factor. To draw people.
But those
it's
going to
rest solely on that. Because
but if you have only a few avenues, if you only have three stages in New York, then the people that are on those stages are going to be...
But now you're talking about the crux of the problem.
What?
Yeah, that's why there was such a limited view on stuff, because those people control those three stages, and because of their market research and development, that's they want this, because that appeals to the widest, cud-chewing, herbivore audience they're looking for.
Yeah, but
you're making
one of those statements that puts down the masses because they like something. Like, I mean, you do that in general, where you say, well, if everybody likes it, it's no good. That is a philosophy of yours, it appears. Like McDonald's, no good. Everybody
I think that's
likes
a simplification
it.
Of it, especially since I do like Big Macs.
Well, what about that?
I think that,
how
yeah,
you don't
but
hate
I know
Big
it's
Macs.
Crap. I like crap every now and again.
No, you think it's good, or you wouldn't
I
eat
like it, but it's horrible for me.
But
and
look
it
how many,
it has
how it appeals
no,
to the masses.
It has no growth or beneficial attribute to
nor
it in
any
way,
radio.
Shape, or form.
I mean,
sure it does.
Look
what radio did for our childhood.
Okay.
Because of listening to those bands, I discovered, great music.
Yeah, but the basic point that you made is radio was... correct me if I'm wrong. You said
radio was better.
Radio was... okay. I was going to say radio was great once, and now it's not.
Yeah, it was.
That's what you were going to say.
Yeah.
Radio was great once, and now it's not.
Yeah.
All right. Can I give you three examples of great radio exists today? Then maybe you can tell me why, if you agree that they're great.
All right. Well, then let me narrow in one way first. Rock radio was great.
Rock radio was great. It also was all there was.
No, it wasn't. There was other type of radio back then. There was different types of stages.
Like what? There was nothing. A college station?
There was. You had country and western.
Both kinds of
both
music.
Both guys.
No, but of course there were
classical,
those.
Classical. You had had CBS with the oldies.
You're talking about genres.
Yeah.
No, not. But there still are genres. There's Light FM is still the number one FM station. Why?
Yeah.
Because that's the widest appeal is light music. I mean that light, easy listening adult contemporary rock is the most appealing or widely appealing type of music.
Yes.
So there still are the genres that are successful because they're genres. But when you say rock radio was great in New York, it wasn't great because it played a certain genre. In fact, I think
it played
bent.
Everything.
It would, right. It would bend. If somebody came out with a reggae song, they'd play it. Yeah. If someone came out a little disco-y, Rod Stewart had his disco era, they played it. You know, like, so they weren't that glued to genres. But what was great was the exclusivity of it. There were only maybe two or three stations. I don't know that there were three. NEW was pretty ignored out of the three.
No.
So I'm thinking of NEW.
Maybe by us, but NEW was the hallowed hall of New York radio. And then you had...
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Not before, not when PLJ was big.
Well, PLJ was big in that run
PLJ
from the mid-70s to the end of the...
when it was big, it was way bigger than NEW.
Yeah, but NEW was big from the 60s and was gone after PLJ went to Scott Shannon and Crap.
Right. Well, NEW actually survived a lot longer than any of those two,
because they were the perennial.
But
you know,
the thing was, there weren't many stages. So let's just again go back to the idea that I'm trying to say, where there were only a few stages. So when let me just get the right band in my head. When Aerosmith puts out "Toys in the Attic," right? It's 1976, and they put out "Toys in the Attic," and they release "Sweet Emotion" or "Walk This Way," whatever, it was the first single. Where's that going to be played? On two stations in New York.
Yeah, it's going to be played, though.
But if you want to hear it, and you're there, and it's 1976, and you're an Aerosmith fan, which I was. I was only 10, but I was a big Aerosmith fan. And I wanted to hear that. It's the only place I could hear it. Two stations.
But they play
it. I don't even
it.
Know that it would be two.
They play it.
So they probably played it about four times a day, and that's the only place I could hear it. So that kind of exclusivity means whoever the hell the DJ is, if they have a quarter of a personality, I'm going to listen.
But they would play it.
Right. But see, now, the difference now is...
Matter of fact, they'd be excited to play it.
Yeah, they would be. But that was what was great. The exclusivity, the fact that there was this... like as one of the stations would say, the home of rock. There was a home for that record to be played.
And they would play it.
Now Aerosmith comes out with a record... and assuming I want to hear it, which, you know, maybe I do want to hear it, where am I going to hear it? Well, any place. I can go to iTunes. I can go to Pandora. I can go to AOL.
I don't know why you're broadening the topic that far. It has
nothing
to do with that.
Because that's what changes what made back then great.
But I don't think it applies, because radio sucked so hard before there was internet. Like as
yes.
widespread,
it always sucked.
So it had no effect on it.
It always sucked, even when it was great.
I disagree. But, they played a lot. Played a lot better.
What
stuff
I'm saying,
back then.
What was you're saying?
When
the
diverse.
Playlist was better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't even know if I'd bother to argue that, because it doesn't matter. That's so subjective to the listener. Like,
have you ever known
again,
me to be objective?
But really,
sorry, have we met?
When you only have three stages, then you have...
Could you call them stations, please?
All right, when you only have three stations... Okay, I'll stop with the analogies. If you know me, I'm glued to analogies. If you have three stations and it's all you got, I'm not even sure you had three, but let's say you had three rock stations. their playlist is so, I don't know how to say this. Whenever you have a limited resource, that limited resource becomes more valuable. So if I give you half a Reese's peanut butter cup, it's going to taste really good if that's all you've got. But if I give you a bucket full of them, they're not going to be so great. Because there's so many. They're
just
not.
Just for a lot longer.
I think most people would agree. You appreciate something more when you have less of it.
Let me boil it down to this. You have classic rock stations nowadays.
Right. That's a genre.
Yes. And if I put on that classic rock station, I find it rare that I will hear a diverse palette of classic rock. I'm going to hear... You know, the
Stairway
same,
to Heaven.
Here, Stairway to Heaven or Rock and Roll or Black Dog, I'm lucky.
Right.
Or I'm going to hear from Aerosmith, I'm either going to hear Sweet Emotion, Walk This Way.
Yes, you are, because it's a classic rock station.
Yeah, but
they're playing a proven set list.
But as I would think that there's other songs off those records that might be a little bit more apt to be played.
There are.
I think there was more freedom.
Nobody's
going to
play those.
But they will. I do.
Yeah, but you do. But you're not selling ads for Coke and Nike and
I don't,
hospital in the area.
I really don't think you need to bring drugs into this.
you do understand the basic principles of advertising. Radio was never without advertising.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to sell...
But I mean, disagree with the whole business model. I don't agree with, every other station is playing this song, so we better can play it.
No, they're not doing it because every other station...
It.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
they're doing
that's
it because...
That's what the playlist is for. That's why you hear... All of a sudden, you'll hear a band... On like DHA or K-Rock, you've never heard before with this mediocre, crappy song. And you'll be like, where did these guys come from? How come you got bands like, I'll just say, for instance, for like Clutch, slugging it out in the clubs for two decades and are still, a minimal, marginal success, an average level. They're doing all right. But... And meanwhile, you get these bands like, Lifehouse, and it's like they got a friggin' PR people and a marketing person. Oh, this kind of stuff is hot, so we need to bring in more bands like that.
It isn't hot because they say it's hot. It's hot because people bought it. They're buying it. People are buying it. They're not being forced to buy it,
Some people are, sure.
No, more people are. No offense to Clutch, but more people are buying... pick a band. More people are buying Christina Aguilera records than are buying Clutch. Is it because Clutch is not as widely distributed?
So should I change my show to Christina Aguilera? Because
if you sell ads to, Bill's Chevy, you better play Christina Aguilera if you want Bill's Chevy to keep paying you those checks. Because, let's face it, that's a realistic... business model, and it's not a crazy business model.
You're the devil.
No, that's not the devil.
Yeah, it is completely.
That's
you're
evil.
Killing. You're telling me I should cop to the corporate mindset that has destroyed and taken all the creativity.
No, I'm not telling you.
I agree
you
with
cop
finding
to that.
The balance.
No,
there's
you should
balance.
Cop to it if you want to make money.
I disagree with that.
Well, but it's not something you're allowed to disagree with in the sense that you don't have any choice.
Yeah,
you will
I do.
Not make
I do
money
have a choice.
With something that the public doesn't choose to listen to.
I think there's enough people that would like something bigger to bring that along.
Based on what?
Me.
No, but you can't do that because you're inventing something. Christina Aguilera sells X amount of copies of her songs, whether it be downloads these days or however they're counting it. But she is a proven product. So if I want to sell airtime, right? So say I put a radio show together and I want to get a good advertiser.
Why do you
want to
have a
me.
Radio station?
What?
Why do you want to have a radio station?
It doesn't matter why I want to have a radio station.
Yeah, it does. To me, it does.
Well, to you, I know it does. I know what you're saying.
It's the same principle that trickles down to why would I want a band? Why would I want a radio show?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. I'm not saying that anybody shouldn't do that.
You kind of are.
No, I'm saying that if you want to...
Should we do a sports show instead?
No, look. If a race car driver wants to be in the big races, they want to be a race car driver. They like racing cars. But they want to race against the best. They want to race against And I don't know racing.
I don't think this
say.
Analogy is going to fit.
But no, it is going to fit.
No.
Race, if a race car driver wants to be in the Daytona 500, right? They don't want to drive, you know, it's something that nobody knows about. They want to be in the Daytona 500. Well, guess what? Their car is going to be covered in STP stickers and Pennzoil and all that stuff. Why? Because they like it. They're going to compromise what that car looks like.
That's different.
To get those sponsors to pay for all the things they got to pay for.
That's completely different.
That's completely the same. It's the exact same thing.
If you wanted
a station and you want to pay an administrative staff and you want to buy a copier,
you have to find the balance.
You want to pay the bills?
You have to create the market then, or you have to find the balance of somewhere how to set yourself apart to draw people in.
That's what you
that's
have to
my
do.
Yeah, that's my
that's
job.
That's your challenge.
Because I'll never be able to do things that way. There's no way I will
well, you don't
not
have to do things that way.
Well, you're but telling me I do if
no,
I want to
no.
be successful.
I am telling you you have to do that if you want. I'm telling you if you want to be successful, you must appeal to people. Is that fair
yeah.
to say?
It doesn't mean I have to appeal to everyone.
No, it doesn't.
I'd rather appeal to a third of the population that's more picky than to two-thirds of the population
oh,
and do crappy work.
Oh, you can do that. Hey, look, Rolls-Royce does that. Rolls-Royce doesn't appeal to everyone.
Yeah.
And not everybody can afford it.
Yeah, well.
There's only how much of the population, maybe 2% of the population can afford a Rolls-Royce?
Yeah.
And they're not going to make as much money as Toyota. Never. But they're happy making their cars for the people who can buy their cars, and they're content with that. And to me, that's the model you're talking about. But even then, you have to still identify an audience and still have to play to that audience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that audience, I would have to think, would not want to listen to our show.
How do you know?
Because they obviously would just want whatever is out there and whatever is popular.
Audience?
The one I'm hopefully
but you
building.
Think that here's the funny thing. You're making it like people listen to Christina Aguilera because other people do. Do you realize that's insane? Do you think that people really listen to Christina
yeah.
Aguilera because other people do?
Sure.
So you're going to sit there in your iPod and listen to it because
that's why everybody's playing it on the radio.
No, they're listening to it because they like it. You don't agree with that?
No, they don't.
You don't think
doing.
They like it?
They.
So you dismiss their opinion because.
Yeah,
it's common.
Much.
That's ridiculous. That is the Big Mac theory. That means a Big Mac is no good.
Hey, if that's what you want to do, then fine.
Right.
Go for that.
No,
go for that type of a radio station.
Right.
I do not like that kind of a radio
no,
station.
Even
I never did,
no,
and I never will.
Of course you don't. That's not you.
No.
That's not what you would do. But even if you do what you do, as a matter of fact, as your alter ego, Undercover Steve, you have a very... you would have a smaller audience than Light FM would have.
Unless.
But let's just say in New York, they can get 3 million listeners weekly. I don't know if that's even anywhere near possible or whatever. But let's say that Light FM can get 3 million listeners weekly. And you decide, I'm not trying to get 3 million listeners. I want, 100,000 listeners in New York. Which is a tiny piece of New York, a sizable piece, but much tinier than, say, what Light FM goes for. So you want 100,000 listeners a week. You're still now going to be faced with the challenge. I still have to do something that these 100,000 people can all like. You know, they're not going to like it just because you tell them to. They're not going to like it because their friends like it.
That's the challenge
for
me.
They either do or they don't.
That's the challenge for me as a creative entertainer.
But you're still working with the same principle. But you're making it like it's a different principle, but it's not. It's the same principle. It's that you are choosing, I would rather appeal to this certain audience that I don't even know if you could describe them. Who is this audience that you're talking about? Who is this audience that isn't the Christina Aguilera audience? Who is it?
Oh, I don't know. You're starting to really vaguely drive me away from the point of...
I think we went far away from wherever we started.
We just did a whole show on this.
It was very compelling to me. I think it's interesting the way you view that.
It's up to me.
And it also came from the point you made about New York radio. I still hold to what I said about New York radio.
All right. Well, I still disagree with you. My point is, if I were to base all my creative decisions on what was most popular, I couldn't do it. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't be honest, and it wouldn't be credible, and it wouldn't work.
I agree. And I don't think that that's what people.
And
I don't
granted,
think that's what Christina Aguilera does.
I don't want over 25 billion sold if it means I have to put out a less quality product.
But it is, it's not a less quality product we're talking about. You said something specific, which is true.
Is that radio?
You don't say like, okay, I'm going to, you know, put together a playlist that everyone will like, but I don't like it.
How?
You wouldn't do that.
How? I mean, this is the concept that'll drive me nuts. It's for a radio station that we look to radio, or at least we did it one time, to bring us good music and music you liked, and you could pick your stations.
We did it one time.
Yeah, and now, I mean, you really want to get into it. You've got major corporations like Clear Channel and things like that that are controlling vast seas of radio companies. So they're making them all play specific playlists.
Why are they doing that?
Because that's the pop market. Yes, because
they're trying to make money.
Yeah, but
evil. Yeah, but they're trying to make money.
Yeah.
So what they did is, back in the day, you didn't make a genre. You didn't try so hard because you didn't have to try so hard because there wasn't a million markets.
But it's to me, it's like price fixing and market control, is to where you're not letting any other stations. You're pricing any individuality or lower end creativity out of the market.
But that's a market.
It can't exist.
That's a market.
So just leave it that way? Oh, well, that's the way
it
is.
That's a free market. Yeah, you have to leave it that way because that's what a free market is. A free market, in its most basic sense of like a square full of vendors, you know, like a basic sense of a market.
But aren't you free to go to an alternative to that?
Yeah, you are, but if nobody buys it, it's not anybody's fault.
It could be bought.
If you have a market of a fruit market and everybody's selling apples and, you know, everybody's buying apples from one particular guy, I mean, are we supposed to say stop buying apples from that guy?
So in other
you
words,
have to buy them from the other guys.
If you had three vendors in your market, one you got your apples from, one you got your oranges, and one you get your grapes from. Now you want all those three things. Now all of a sudden you've got a major guy that buys every fruit stand, and now all these people have to work for him, and they can't.
They don't have to work for him. They don't. They do because they make money. That's why they do. Why do you think the DJs who work for New York Radio now, which you would admit is corrupted at this point, right?
Yeah.
So why do the DJs work there now? Because they're making money.
Yeah. Because they
don't
they
have
need a
to.
Job. No, they don't.
They
have
could
to.
Do exactly what you do. They could start their own. I mean, how easy is it now for if someone does
yeah,
want
can.
To start, it can be done.
Yeah. They
so
can.
Why don't they? So why doesn't? Where is that drive? You have it.
Yeah.
And you probably wouldn't take a job on radio. You actually wouldn't. There are a few people I could say, honestly, would have the integrity. You wouldn't take a job on Light FM where you had to play the playlist, even if it made really good money. You wouldn't take it.
Probably not.
In other words, playing a playlist that you had no input in and hated the music.
I had no control on.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it.
Automation doesn't.
So I'm telling you, nobody has to do it. The people who do it want to make money.
To a point. And then you have people that manipulate those systems and take the creativity out of it.
Well, yeah, because they're not going for creativity. They're going to make money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
see,
a lucky
now, now
instance.
You're coming back to the concept of balance and trying to find balance.
Yeah, but there are different forms of balance. When you talk about Rush, going back to where we started, when you talk about Rush, the reason why Rush climbed out of the basement they were in, you know, I think I'll use the point that they were at with Cress of Steel, where they make this record that's all under their control, what they wanted, you know, true to their art form, and it kind of tanks in terms of what the record company hoped for, in terms of what they hoped for even. It didn't sell enough units, even to Rush fans, I guess it didn't sell quite enough units. So they went back and they had that choice that we talk about where they could have listened to the people around them and made a more listenable
gone
record.
Back to the first record.
Yeah, or they could just
go back to work on the
screw
farm.
It. We're going
to
do, or they can go back to work on the farm.
Yeah.
Or in the parts shop or wherever the heck,
but
you know.
But even
Neil
back
works.
Then, that was so different that they didn't have the access to their own way of doing things. Like then you had to get a record deal because you couldn't afford to record an album.
Right, but
and you
most bands
get in,
didn't
you
do what they
get
did.
Into airplay.
But most bands didn't make the choice they did because basically the choice they made was like, we're going to do our thing. And they kind of...
They got lucky.
They risked everything.
They got lucky.
Very lucky, because easily they should have been
but
dropped.
But by your argument, they shouldn't have tried 2112.
No, my argument
that's not selling.
Well,
they
glad
should
you
go
said
back.
That.
They should
my
go back and do the first record because that's what that's what people must want.
No, I'm saying,
and then
they
we'd
should
be
go
bland,
back.
Dull kids.
They should go back and do the first record if they want to make money. I would still say that if I was giving Rush advice,
but and they made money and they did their own thing.
If it was 1975 and I was giving Rush advice and they just did Caress of Steel and they said to me, listen, you know, the record's kind of tanking. We have a choice. We could listen to the record company and we can make a record like our first record and maybe it'll do better. Or we're not really comfortable with that. We'd really rather make whatever record we make. And if it sells, it sells. And it doesn't, it doesn't. I would say to them, what's really important to you? Do you guys care if it does well, or do you just want to do what you want
to
do?
They had to lie.
But the point is, their answer was, we want to do what's true to us, like you would want to. And we'll take the wherever the chips fall, they fall. Then I say, fine. But don't but understand, if nobody buys that record you do, don't blame the market. You can't make people like stuff.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
But you should have the opportunity to make it.
That's not a right. That's not a right.
It's not
in this
a
country.
Right.
You don't get to expose your stuff to the masses as a right. I mean, you can expose your stuff to a market, but in other words, well, you don't get.
See, that's where the community ethic comes into play, and which you're not taking into consideration at all. Which to me is the sad part of this whole element is the fact that you don't have a conducive environment to be creative. You don't have a conducive, you know, from what was supposed
in radio.
To be in the music business side of it, which has always been the bane or the curse of the music industry, is what you'll have to sacrifice to do what you want to do. Fortunately now, that's why their labels are so scared, is because you don't need them. But they used to wield the power. If Mercury never said, you know what, we'll let you be Moon Records for a couple of records and put out some stuff, Rush would have never happened because it was... That's right. Yeah.
But what about Moon Records? They have their own interests. And their interests aren't Rush's interests. So they had to... Well, not Moon Records.
Well, it is.
I mean, Mercury.
But that's the community element. That's where... Hey, it's all of our interests for you to put out a good product, for us to put your good product out and to appeal to people.
Yes, because it was in all their best interest. But let's take you right now, the Undercover Steve show, okay? You have a product.
Friday nights, pipgo1.com.
And why did you do that? For popularity. For money. No.
Reference purposes
but
only.
But do you want your show to be successful?
Yeah.
In other words, you would like more people to listen to it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, and there's a line drawn there. You would like more people to listen to it, but you don't ever want to sacrifice what you do to get more people to listen to it, right?
So
let's just say you sat down with somebody, a consultant, and they said, listen, we got a playlist for you here. If you just play this and talk about these things, I guarantee you're going to do better. You wouldn't do that, would you?
No.
Because that wouldn't be your show anymore.
I couldn't.
So I'm not for that either. I don't think you should sacrifice your integrity and play more unless... You had mouths to feed at home, and you said,
"Well, that's
my
why
number
I work
one
in
goal
Shawnee.
Is to make money." That, right? That's why you work your job. That's why I have a job.
Yeah.
Because we have to. Do you think I want to do the job I do for a living?
But
no, I do that.
The goal
because,
to me is, I think there's enough around if you are afforded the opportunity to reach it, and a lot of avenues are closed because they're shut off because. They're only open to certain things.
But they're not shut off because they say, oh, you're no good. They're only just not available because they're not proven. So, like, for instance, Rush once was not a proven product. They once were an odd little product.
But isn't that the point of everything now? Like, don't you have to kind of take some risks to grow?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, Apple was an idea.
Yeah. That's like the other Jello Biafra joke. You know, if the Doors or John Lennon tried to get signed now, they'd never be signed in a million years because nobody would take that chance.
That. Well, I don't know because that's almost everybody's story.
They don't sound like Creed,
but that's almost
we're not
going to
sign
story.
You.
But they didn't. But you know what it was for them that day? You guys don't sound like Elvis, and guess what? They tried to sound like Elvis. You know what I mean? Like,
well, they did.
Right, but they were a cover band.
The Beatles came up trying to sound like the R&B and blues and stuff.
Well, you're making my point.
Yeah.
They were trying to be... But honestly, I think there was some integrity there.
And
I
when
they
started to change, what happened to them? They tried to shut them down, and they went and did their own thing anyway.
But that makes total sense. I mean, look, if you, let's just say you have a house and a mortgage, right? And a car payment and yada yada, right? And you have your job and that pays for the house and the car and the thing. And then you go to work one day and you say, guys, I decided from now on we're going to do things differently. I would like to come. I'm going to start coming in at, you know, a different hour. I'm going to leave at a different hour.
I don't think this is going to fit.
The point is that you don't get to be true to your what you would desire and think was a better thing. You actually have to bend your
That's a different application.
Because you're making a deal. I'll do what you want. You give me
that's
money.
That's a different thing. That's a completely
it's
different
the same
mindset.
Thing
no,
because
it's not.
Not at all. The principle is this.
Well, you can't compare that type of job to an art world in that regard.
It's the
because
same
it's,
thing.
No, it's
if
not. Because if I'm making cars and I know that that's what I'm doing, that's what I'm there for every day. I work for you and your car company.
Right.
Unless I start my own car company and I say, you know what, I'm going to try doing it this way.
Right.
And then hopefully it would, you know, make
car
it.
Companies were born out of that.
Yeah.
There were some that were born out of what you just said.
Yeah.
They said, you know what, I think I'm going to do that differently.
But that's different.
But it's the same. My point was never that you shouldn't, an artist shouldn't go be themselves as an artist. I think they should. In fact, at this point in my life, I'm interested in doing that. Being more of just what I want to be, regardless of whether people buy it or not. But understand, the world doesn't owe you buying it.
No, of course not. I'm not even saying that in the least.
Okay.
What I'm saying is more along the lines of, you get to a point, look, you're working your job for cable. I'm working my job for Shawnee. I'm doing these things while I'm trying to build these other ventures. So eventually, that's how I can make my money and survive.
Right.
If I can't, then I'm always going to do it for fun. I'm always going to do it for fun. And I'm always going to work. And I, you know, that's what I'll just have to deal with.
Same for me.
But I certainly wouldn't start one of these ventures on somebody else's guidelines to do it their way, because that'll make money.
Not unless that's your goal.
Yeah. I mean, I work for Shawnee. I mean, that's what I have to do so I can do these other things.
But the reason why we got to that, we are in agreement about that.
Yeah.
But my point was, New York radio was always that. Except there was a little more artistic freedom when there wasn't so much competition. So when you only have a few stations, two or three stations, you can afford to take some risks, let the DJs get play what they want, maybe.
Well, they should
because
be taking risks now.
There's not too many places to go. You got a proven product. Like, you take a Howard Stern, who's a proven product. He can take risks. He can do things that other people can't do. Why? Because he's a proven product. People are already buying. Mike Francesa, they're already buying. Mike and Mike on ESPN.
Yeah.
People are already buying. They can take some risks. But if you get Johnny Sports Guy, he goes on the radio, he's got a... He can't just do what he wants. He can do what he wants if he feels like it, but he can't exactly expect a flood of listeners. Now, he may get a flood of listeners.
He's
got
to build it up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for that. I'm not against that. We're doing that.
I know.
That's what we're doing. The Beaner and Weevil show.
The greater point
is of its own brand. We're not trying to make money with it. We're not trying to conform with it.
Yeah.
And be certain.
Well, I mean, I would like this to make money, but
so would I. But we're not changing it to make money.
But if Clear Channel says, "Hey, we'll give you a show, but you can only interview these bands and work in this format," it's not going to happen.
Well,
but,
I agree
but
with
by
you
your
to
argument,
an extent.
I have to change my show so I can make a living at it.
Would
I do that?
You have
no.
to do that if you decide that that's your number one goal, to make money. I know it's
but
not.
I think there's a better way, and that's fine in that balance.
Well, and then you do that.
And that's
but
what I'm trying to do.
But you're not going to, you can't say, well, look, I'm passing on the Clear Channel idea, so where's deal number two? You may not get deal number two.
No, I may not. But I can pass on the Clear Channel and say no, because that's what sucked with radio for the last fucking 30 years.
That's fair. That's fine. That's what Rush did.
And that was my whole point
Rush
in the beginning.
Rush wasn't trying. People thought Rush was being a Zeppelin copy band, but they weren't.
Just say,
they were hoping to be Rush.
If you're lucky, like, case in point now, we're not going to hear 2112 on the radio ever again unless we play it.
I hear it all the time on satellite.
On satellite.
Right, because there's freedom to do it on satellite.
Yes, satellite has freedom now. But as it's getting more and more corporately structured, now if you listen, I mean, the times that I've listened to satellite at the shop, I might hear deeper cuts on bands, I'll hear stuff I won't normally hear, but I will hear like the same 6 to 8 bands repeatedly throughout an 8-hour day.
But why do you think over and over? My point is in there.
To me, it's a lack of imagination on the program director.
It's not a lack of imagination.
It's much easier to set up a corporate playlist off of what the numbers say people are listening to than to actually be a little creative and offer more to your public.
But that's like saying you eat Big Macs because you don't have any imagination. No, you eat them because they're good.
Once in a while.
Right, but they're very they're extremely popular.
Yeah.
There's McDonald's all over the place.
Well, then by that right, then Lady Gaga should be on like every freaking station.
She is.
She's not.
Okay, she isn't because she doesn't fit in every genre, and you can't get a Big Mac at Burger King.
Yeah.
But you can get a Whopper. So the point is that there are things that the public decides. You put it out there, the public decides whether they like it. I mean, masses don't move as a unit. They move as individuals. Masses are only a bunch of individuals.
Yeah.
So if you get so many individuals making the same choice, not because other people are, maybe some are because other people are, but they're making individual choices, and as a whole, they just seem to like Stairway to Heaven.
And if you...
Then you're not going to play it?
If you...
Does it make sense to play it?
I think in the law averages, if you beat people down with less options, and they're going to get used to it.
No, they'll go somewhere else.
No, or they'll get used to it.
Terrestrial radio right now, if they put together a playlist, a typical classic rock playlist, and it's got Stairway to Heaven, and it's got Cocaine, and it's got, you know, the
you
typical...
You keep bringing up Cocaine.
I don't know. It's just a thing. So let's say a classic rock terrestrial station has their typical playlist, which we know what that would be. And right now, with the choices you have as a listener, you're going to go somewhere else if you don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But they don't. They listen. And they listen because they want to hear it.
Because they don't.
You don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it.
But
yeah,
you're not the masses.
No, I'm not.
You're
the
not even typical of the masses. You're atypical.
I think there's a lot more of us out there than you're giving credit for.
There are a lot of people who are atypical, but there are more people who are typical. Meaning, there's more people that are in the majority than the minority.
I think there are more
Christina Aguilera fans than there are Slayer fans. Why?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Well, and Slayer's missing a lot of checks.
Slayer's doing all right on their own.
No, there's a huge market for Slayer, but it's not as big as the one for Christina Aguilera. Why?
Because those people are stupid.
I know your answer, because those people are stupid. And that's not the answer. And the answer isn't because Christina Aguilera is better. That's not the answer either. There's a bigger market for Christina Aguilera because more people have found her good to listen to than Slayer.
Or more people have deemed it better to offer that as opposed to a wider...
Yeah, but they deemed it better to offer that as a result of more people demanding it. In other words, this is a demand-driven market. You're saying it's supply-driven.
I think it's manipulation. I think it's marketing manipulation.
Wow, see, I totally disagree with you. And that's where we disagree. I think that just music in particular, I will just say, you know, what's played on the radio is driven by demand. It's driven by demand. It isn't that...
Manufactured demand.
No, it's not manufactured demand.
I think it's manufactured demand. Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
No, you really can't.
If you narrow what people's choices are, you're manufacturing
demand. If you narrow
demand.
What choices they are, you are narrowing the choices. You're not narrowing or changing the demand.
Sure you are.
No, you're not. If you have 3 soft drinks on the market. If you have Pepsi, Coke, here again with the Coke. If you have Pepsi, Coca-Cola.
I think you have a problem.
Pepsi, Coca-Cola, and Dr. Pepper. That's all you have on the market, right?
See, we're never going to see eye to eye on this because you're basically rationalizing everything that's wrong.
I'm not rationalizing.
With the music industry to me today.
But
totally.
I'm not rationalizing at all. I'm actually just stating the facts.
You should be a corporate spokesman. You're scaring me.
What is corporate? I bet you can't define what corporate is.
I can define corporate.
It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as corporate.
Sure there is.
What is corporate?
Linkin Park.
What?
Linkin Park was corporate.
They're corporate?
Yeah.
And what way are they corporate?
That band was manufactured after that record was even done.
Just corporate is a
manufactured
concept.
It's definitely a way of describing complete industry driven, you know.
Well, then Rush is corporate.
Now, well, they are a corporation at this point.
No, but they're corporate by your definition because they have gained mass appeal.
Differently, though.
Oh, so if you gain mass appeal in a different way, like in other words, if you get there differently, that's okay.
Yes.
The Beatles are also corporate then.
Well, now they are because they got owned.
In other words, the Beatles, see, I'm sure that you would consider the Beatles valid, a valid artist offering.
I do, but that too has been commercialized and you know.
Why do you think that is? Because the government made us or because people like the music?
No, because McCartney sold the friggin' rights, first of all.
Oh, here's my theory on you, and I'll just give you this. I'll just throw it at you. I think that you discredit anything that gains wide appeal because you want the right. You want to have the right to it yourself.
I think that is a way oversimplification.
You've always wanted to grab something and make it yours.
Oh, well,
and
no.
And if it has wide appeal already, you can't make it yours.
Well, certain things are. But in your sense of Rush has built up to a huge, wide mass acceptance. And, right. And certainly...
We saw that in the 80s.
For mostly with absolutely no help from conventional methods.
They are from conventional methods.
No, hardly.
Absolutely.
They were.
Why do you think Cleveland first played? We know why Cleveland
played it, and then what happened to them?
Why did they play it? They got requests for it, demand.
No. A DJ saw it, played it, liked
okay,
it.
Okay, that moment.
That moment would not happen so much
right,
today.
That moment is from one individual, right? That's an individual who said, "I like this record. I'm going to play it."
But that makes my argument more than anything.
But if nobody likes it, they're not going to continue
to play
it. But
the DJ liked it.
How much he likes it.
But the DJ liked it.
So he gave it a chance.
And he played it.
Right.
That wouldn't happen today.
Sure.
Except for shows like ours.
I kind of agree with you there.
That wouldn't happen. If a DJ in friggin' K-Rock picked up a demo of something and really liked it, he'd be like, I should play this on the air. They'd be like, no.
Well,
that's not happening.
I'd almost agree with you because I think you're accurate to that. But here's the thing about that. They have you can send original music to Sirius. I'm not sure where and when they play it, but you can expose it to them.
Yeah, and maybe they will. Maybe.
And there are other stations. I think DHA plays some unsigned stuff, and I think...
In other words,
there is some possible room for unsigned things. But I agree with you. A moment like that where a DJ on their own volition says, I'm going to expose the world to something. I agree. I hope there's more and more of that in the world. But you discount anything that would be new, right?
No.
I mean, if it was new and they played... What if it was new and it was like Christina Aguilera?
I wouldn't like that genre.
You wouldn't like it. So you would say, well, that's not genre. But should it be... What if they play something like that and it gets tons of calls? We want to hear that again. Is that valid?
It's valid.
Is that corporate or is that just real?
It would be real, but it wouldn't be on my show.
It wouldn't be on your show. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, but if I work for a Clear Channel station, it would be.
It would be played once an hour on my friggin' show.
But then we're getting into a broader range of how the like companies like Clear Channel flood the market or they own so much of the market that nobody else can compete because it's on that. That's why like mom and pop shops can't advertise on radio. Now it's like the whole basic principle behind PIMCO is that the small mom and pop shops have been squeezed out of the advertising world by entities.
No,
like
they've
Clear
been
Channel.
Squeezed out of the market by people.
National chains,
Target,
pay so much.
Walmart.
To advertise on Clear Channel networks, that mom and pop can't afford to make that level.
That's the people's doing. That's the public.
That's not the public. That's the industry's.
The public voted that.
Now we're getting into arguments of monopolies and how you got Clear Channel buy up 16,000 stations because you know whatever this was made them enough money that now they can do it. Now all the stations have to play the Clear Channel playlist. This is the broader picture that we took an hour for me to come to more clearly.
It's okay. It's good radio.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. How long have we been recording?
You would like to know? You sure you want to know?
I'm
79
afraid.
Minutes.
So I'm getting a little long in the tooth.
I'm telling you, it's good radio.
We didn't cover any music.
It's good radio. We covered so much of music.
I had so much stuff here.
Show two. Would you like to start show two now? Would you like to start part two?
Oh, what time do I have to
give me an
home?
Outro and we'll do part two.
We'll do part two.
Or just give me an outro.
I'm right and he's wrong. Even though it's not my show.
Thanks for listening. We're going to see you guys again next time.
Yeah, there was a lot more anniversary stuff.
That's all right.
Come back soon.